We're continuing our thoughts in Hebrews chapter 10, and I want to read verses 26 through 31. Hebrews 10, 26 through 31. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, should he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will repay or recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. This passage of Scripture is not a message to the lost. This passage of Scripture is a message to those who are saved. This passage of Scripture should instill in each of our hearts the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord in judgment. And in particular, if we are living a life that is sinful and doing it as a practice, or a living a life in sin that we say that we have a right to do and that we're not willing to confess. A willful sin is basically a sin that you embrace and that you will not confess. And if you will not confess a particular sin in your life, you will have to deal with that sin at the judgment seat of Christ. Your salvation doesn't cover that. That sin will not kick you out of the family. It just simply robs you of honor and glory and riches and rewards in His coming kingdom and glory. And I think it even applies to here on the earth. There are people that will have an earthly inheritance, and you will be robbed of blessings here as far as an earthly inheritance is concerned. In verse 26, it says, if we sin willfully. I think we do well to focus on the fact that it's we, which includes the writer of the book of Hebrews. So we're dealing with saved people. And it says, if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no sacrifice, no more sacrifice for sins. The we here, I believe, are the people of God. We already read that in Hebrews 10:30. The Lord shall judge the people of Himself, is the literal translation of that. The Lord will judge His people. And vengeance here is getting even, or repaying, or really, you will be rewarded according to your behavior and works. That's really what it amounts to. It's not getting even in the sense of vengeance is mine. I will repay, I will make it right. The we are also found in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put to open shame. The we in this verse of Hebrews 10:26 are those that have been enlightened. In verse 3 of Hebrews 6, I didn't put it in here, but verse 3 says, and this we will do if God permits. God does not permit all of His kids to come into the enlightenment, particularly in the book of Hebrews. And it says, for it's impossible or irrevocable. I ran across this term, irrevocable, is a very good term. Is that there is no changing. You enter into this after having been enlightened, it's irrevocable. It will not be reversed. And if you've been enlightened, you've tasted the heavenly gift, and the heavenly gift, by the way, is not getting saved. The heavenly gift is life for the coming kingdom, ruling and reigning with Christ, and made partakers of the Holy Spirit. That has to do with the ministry, the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it is a precious experience to enter into the ministry of the Holy Spirit as He opens the Word of God to us. And I am still encouraged when I think about what happened on the road to Emmaus when the Lord, speaking to His disciples, they didn't know who He was. He's a master disguiser. He worked on the other side instead of Himself. But anyway, it was when the Lord broke bread that the eyes of His disciples were opened. And it's in the breaking of bread, or observing of this table, that the Word of God is opened to us so that we can understand it and appreciate it. And so there's more to it than just remembering that Christ died on the cross for us and that He also suffered in the garden that we might rule and reign with Him. But it also is a catalyst to open the truths and the understanding of those truths out of the Word of God. So, we're talking about those that are partakers of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in teaching ministry, tasted of the good Word of God. And by the way, the Word of God is a reference to the Word of the Kingdom. Tasting the Word of the Kingdom. And the powers of the age to come. The word world there should be translated age. If they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put to open shame. Just remember, it's not Jesus Christ that's going to be put to open shame. It's you. It's me. We're the ones that's going to be ashamed of ourselves. Because we have murdered our high priest. That's what it means to crucify the Son of God. A reference to the Son of God in the context of Hebrews is a reference to Melchizedek. Melchizedek is the Son of God. And what we do in turning away from these precious truths is to ignore the office of our high priest. And therefore we are handicapped because of it. Now, Hebrews chapter 10 verse 27 talks about the irrevocable judgment of a willful sin. It says, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. We sin willfully, there's not going to be any mercy there in dealing with that sin. Now, I'm not here to try to scare you, but I'm here to share this message to help you appreciate that God means business when it comes to His children, that He has opened the truths to that will allow them to rule and reign with Him in His coming kingdom. It just flies in His face when one of His children that has this ministry to them turns away from it. Let's say it flies in His face. He just doesn't like it. You've seen these bumper stickers occasionally. The Lord's returning, and boy, is He mad. Well, we don't have to be afraid of Him if we're behaving ourselves. That's the key. But we need a wholesome fear of the Lord. People say, you know, I serve the Lord because I love Him. That's good. But you know, the Lord has given more incentives than just simply because we love Him. We serve Him because He will reward us. And then the third one is, we had better serve Him because of the consequences of not serving Him. That's judgment. So, this fiery indignation which will devour the adversary, that is the devil and his angels are our adversaries. And this fiery indignation has to do with fire, which we will see in a moment. What I think he wants us to, what I think is trying to be presented here is the fact that fire hurts. You ever been burned? I don't think anybody that's very old hadn't been burned a time or two in their life. And it's no fun. It's something that you will recoil from. If the house is on fire, you leave. Not slowly, but in a hurry, because of being burned, the hurt. And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John said, I indeed baptize you with water, that is literal water, unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you not with, but in the Holy Spirit, which is literal, and in fire, which is also literal. It's a compound prepositional phrase. And being a compound prepositional phrase, you simply have to either make both of the objects of the preposition figurative or both literal. And in this case, you can't take the Holy Spirit and make it figurative. It's the literal Holy Spirit. He will baptize us or seal us in the Holy Spirit. He will baptize us in fire. Now, there's a difference between being baptized and being thrown into the fire. Baptism means you come up. You bury them and then you raise them. Where the devil and his angels are going to be cast into the fire, and in this case the lake of fire, and they are not baptized. They're there permanently. Now, there's a reference to this judgment in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 13 through 15. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try or approve every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as not by, but through fire. Our works will be judged in our baptism of fire. Or baptism in fire. They will be either disapproved or approved. If they're disapproved, they will be burned up. If they are approved, they will stand the test of the flame. And we will receive a reward. The word suffer loss is really a legal term meaning to be fined. It costs you. You know, when you get a ticket, it costs. Sometimes it hurts. Depends upon the bankroll. And sometimes it doesn't. But most of us, it hurts. So, the same thing at the judgment seat. It will hurt. When you see your wood, hay, and stubble go up in smoke, that's your life. If you've invested in the things of the flesh and the world and the devil, you're producing wood, hay, and stubble, and they will be burned. It's the gold, the silver, and the precious stones. Those, I believe, are the things that are done by faith that will last. It's interesting, in Leviticus chapter 10, it talks about two sons of Aaron. that were judged by fire. And the reason I'm bringing this verse in is because of our study of the we who are in the holy place, which is a reference to the priest, the kingdom of priests that we are, and ministering to the Lord in the holy place where we can go into the Holy of Holies. And here we have two sons of Aaron that are priests, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord. And he commanded them not, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. The fire consumed them because of their disobedience and rebellion against what God had told them to do. They didn't lose their salvation. A lost people don't go into the holy place, and these two fellows had been in there along with Aaron. They may not have gone into the Holy of Holies because of their dad being the high priest, as he was, but these two young men were holy. They ate of the showbread, which was holy, but there came a time in their life when they decided that they can do it their own way. And they did that which was right in their own eyes, and God said, no. And he consumed them with fire. I think that's the only place that I can find in the Bible where God approved of cremation. Those guys were consumed right there, ashes. Okay. Now, the exhortation is in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 11 has to do with the overcomer. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Now, what is the second death? Well, Revelation 21:8 tells us that the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What is the second death? It's a lake of fire. This lake of fire is a place where the devil and his angels will be cast. This lake of fire is the place where people who have rejected Jesus Christ as Savior will be cast. And they will be there for eternity. So, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. The point that I'm bringing out here is, who wants to be hurt? Who wants to hurt? We have pain medication to keep us from hurting. But do you know what? There's no pills to be taken when it comes to the willful sin. We will be hurt. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, it tells us, or gives us some idea what hurt means. I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, we don't handle serpents here. Why? They'll hurt you. Particularly the poison ones. I cannot remember the feeling of being stung by a scorpion, but I think I have been stung once when I was very young by a scorpion. They're very painful. And I'm so glad I can't remember it now, but I don't know whether there's any scorpions up here or not in Minnesota, but there sure is a lot of them in Texas, and they are unmerciful. But it kind of gives you an appreciation of what hurt means. It's something you don't want to experience. That's the key. You sin willfully, you're going to experience something you don't want to experience. It's going to hurt you. Now, there are times when fire will not hurt you. And a prime example of that is in Daniel, isn't it? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It says in Daniel 3:25, and this is Nebuchadnezzar saying, and he answered and said, lo, I see four men walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, no pain. Kill the guys that threw them in. That's a pretty hot furnace. especially when it's heated 7 times hotter than factory statistics. And what does it say? And the form of the fourth is like the what? The Son of God. Who is the Son of God to us? Melchizedek. He's our high priest. If you've murdered Melchizedek, he's not going to be in the fire with you. Now, what are some examples of things that will cause us to be hurt? In Matthew chapter 25, verse 30, it says, "Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is a reference to a servant of the Lord, not a lost person. This is a servant of the Lord who is an unprofitable servant. If you are an unprofitable child of God, you're going to have some weeping and some gnashing of teeth. That's what happens when you get hurt. I mean, you know, when we were children, we cried at the drop of a hat. But you know, when you're in real pain, you just look at the people's faces in New York City. Your heart just goes out to them. You can't really experience what they feel. I saw a lady that was being brought a telegram that she knew that her son would die or had died in the war. And my heart just went out to her. You know what she did? She came out the door. She saw the command car coming up with a star on it. And the officers were coming up the walk. It was out in the country. You know what that lady did? She just sat down right on the porch. She knew what was coming. She just didn't know it was 3 of her sons that had been taken in World War II. But when she just sat down, right, she didn't even sit on the steps. She just sat down right on the floor. Her heart broke. But anyway, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Another one is an unfaithful servant in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 46 and 47. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder. That is, he will cut him off, and will appoint him his portion with the unfaithful, not the unbeliever. It's faith with a negative on it. The unfaithful. That servant, that is, the one that was wise and faithful, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. We looked at fire. We looked at outer darkness. Here we're looking at beating. I think these are just simply tokens of things that we don't like. And what God is trying to tell us is this. You misbehave after receiving the knowledge of the truth. You're not going to like what you get. That's the key. That's the thing that we need to completely understand. In Matthew 18, it deals with the wicked servant will be hurt. The wicked servant is one who will not forgive a brother anything he's done to him wrong. Then his Lord, after that he called him and said unto him, "Thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. And shouldest not also thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. This deals with a brother in the Lord, those that are seeking to rule and reign with Christ. And I think all of us can appreciate what a tormentor is. Is anybody going to go out this afternoon to the tormentors? No. Why? Because we don't like it. We don't want that. Another one is the naked will be hurt. Remember the fellow who went to the wedding feast and he didn't have on the wedding garment? What happened? It tells us here in verse 13 of Luke 22. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth if people show up naked. And those who show up naked are the ones who have not prepared themselves a wedding garment. Also in Luke chapter 13, it says, but he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of lawlessness. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All that are into lawlessness or the willful sin are going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. They're not going to be in hell for eternity, okay? They're just going to experience things that they don't like. They will be hurt. You know what this encourages me to do? It encourages me to behave myself. It encourages me to know what the Word of God says to do and not to do, and focus on what God wants me to do to please Him, and to run as fast as I can away from that which displeases Him. I just look at Joseph. Joseph resisted Potiphar's wife. We need to do the same thing. We need to run. So there is warning. And I think I'll close with this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11, where it says, wherefore we labor, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Here is a reminder that we will one day stand to be judged. And that judgment is going to be given. At that judgment, rewards will be given. We'll be rewarded for the good things, and we will be rewarded for the evil things. And that's the reason why Paul says, knowing therefore the terror or the fear of the Lord, we persuade men to do what? What he said in verse 9. We labor, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him, because we know that the judgment is coming. And Paul told those at Colossians, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons in this. May the Lord help us to appreciate the fact that it does cost you to live a life in rebellion against Him. But the rewards are beyond measure if we will obey Him and serve Him and live by faith. I do want to be an overcomer. I don't want the second death to hurt me. And if I am an overcomer, and the only way that I know to overcome is to live by faith, the Lord says, I will grant that you will sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and have sat down with my Father in His throne. If we want to stand approved in His presence, we will take serious the warnings that God gives us about living a sin of lawlessness or living in lawlessness. May the Lord help us to appreciate it and have a wholesome fear of the Lord and not be afraid of Him. He's not to be afraid of. You know, we're not to be afraid of Him, because we need to keep going to the throne of grace to obtain mercy, to find grace to help in time of need. But we need to have a wholesome fear of the Lord. Father, we do thank You for Your Word that warns us and encourages us to live a life that is well-pleasing to You. And we pray, Lord, that You would help us to have a wholesome fear of Thee, that we will not live in sin, particularly after coming to a deeper knowledge of Your truth, that, Lord, we can stand approved in Your presence in that day. Bless the message to each of our hearts this morning, for it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.